Welcome to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Over the next hour, you'll be introduced to business and local leaders impacting our community. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio at 540-371-5756. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
We're talking to Central Rappahannock Regional Library this morning. Good friends Darcy Caswell and Aaron Creighton in to talk about things going on with the library. Good morning to both of you.
Good morning, Ted.
If I turn your mic on, that would be very helpful to the listener. Otherwise, you and I will have a great conversation and no one else will hear it. No, it's good. It is good to have you here. It's got to be kind of challenging for the library with when we have winter weather, because you're either not open or you're opening different hours, and been a challenging winter for all of us, I think.
Yeah, I think the great thing about the library, though, is we have so many online resources. So even if the library is closed, you can check out a digital book, an e-book, or an e-audio book.
Or an e-movie, like we have,
all of our streaming movies.
Yeah.
Who said that together?
On Hoopla, I have to talk about Hoopla, too. You know, you can do music and videos and books and audio books.
And then you can get their binge pass and watch, like, you know, 5 movies in a row if you're looking for something, you know, to just snuggle up on a blanket and watch a good movie.
Yeah.
I have heard about several different people where families have discovered those things at the library this year. Yeah. And I've been like, how could you not know that? But it is. There are so many options, and you can sit at home and do a lot of things.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, definitely. And, you know, it's while we're closed, you know, we are all still, you know, getting things like, you know, people are putting meeting room requests on, and we're, you know, there are still things that you can do online. Like you can, you know, book things, like order that physical book if you really want it, or, you know, make that appointment for your meeting room into our spaces for when we open again and things like that. We come in and we have like lots of stuff to catch up on, but we're happy to do it.
Right. And it's also a great time when you're snowed. I mean, this is what I did. You know, I might be reading some things and hear about a great book, and I just go on the app and I put that on hold. It's a great time to look through our online catalog and check out all the new library of things that we have. You know, get your radon detector, get your boom whackers for your kids to experiment with. We've got some great kits for kids.
The grower reader kits are so fantastic. Gosh. So like maybe we're closed because of bad weather, but you had the grower reader kit at home and you can do your own story time with your kids. And how special is that?
Yep. So it'll have books and activities and all kinds of fun things.
Well, Darcy, as someone who, with you working in youth services, I mean, the grower reader program is just a great way to get your family and your kids involved.
Oh, absolutely. And I mean, every time I'm in here, I say we know a lot. There's many, many, many studies that show that birth to age 5 is a critical time to do enriching activities with your child, to talk to them, to read to them, to sing to them. And at the library, we support that by our Grow Reader Story Times. We have 25, I think, every week across our region. And so adults bring their children in, and our trained staff, we're going to read stories, we're going to sing songs.
And for parents that may not have that kind of a background to know about that, you can pick up some strategies and see some things and see what your kids like and continue that at home.
Absolutely. In fact, one of the special things about our story times at the library is that we, in every story time, have a piece that we call the caregiver-child interaction. Because again, backed up by research, we know that interactions that children have with a trusted adult, or you know, like a caregiver, a grandparent, a parent, that those experiences are even more meaningful. They can't, and I'm not a, you know, a doctor, but basically they kind of sit, they get set in the brain even more securely.
Yeah.
And so We have an intentional caregiver-child interaction at all of our story times where the child interacts with the adult in an engaging, enriching, educational way. And so our goal there, of course, is to increase that child's cognitive development, but also to model for the adults in the room things that they can do, very easy things that they can do at home with their child. Because these aren't complicated things. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And at the end of the story times, at the Grow a Reader classes, they always have extra books mm-hmm. that the caregiver or parents can take home with them. So if mm-hmm. they're like, oh, that was really special, we just did a great story time, how do I do this at home? Well, here are a bunch of books that you can then check out. You don't even have to think about it. They're already selected for you, and you can just grab them and go. I mean, our youth services staff are amazing.
Yeah, and we also have a handout at the end of each story time that ties into the caregiver-child interaction for that day. So that's a thing that the adult can take home and do with their child outside of the library.
No, especially for youth, the youth services mm-hmm. area to be able to go in and just learn. Just go in and walk around and see. Take your kids, because everything is it's bright, it's colorful. And kids' books today, there's mm-hmm. so many different levels. They're great reads. They're great for adults to read.
The artwork is amazing. Honestly.
Yes,
I know. Working in youth services for years, I primarily read books for children and teens, and I'm not missing a thing, really. The books are so good. Aaron said, the illustrations in the picture books are gorgeous.
Oh, so nice.
And like you said, when adults bring their kids into the library, we try to make it as easy as possible for them. Our goal really is to support adults and families in, educating and raising their children. And so we try to have a variety of things, very accessible. We have what we call passive programs in the library, but those are just easy things that kids can do when they come in. So like we have little scavenger hunts, mm-hmm. maybe we've got puzzles out or that kind of thing. So entertaining things for the kids. And I mean, we know that the way that children learn is through play. So to them, they're just having fun playing games, learning fun things. But we understand that their brain is developing at the same time.
No, and I can see we talk a lot about starting out young. And I know with my own kids, I can just look back and they were doing that young. And they, when they went to school, they were such an advantage because they could read.
Absolutely. And reading to children, talking to them, singing with them, all of these things helps develop that, their brain, so that when they go to school, they're ready to read. And being a strong reader is so important, no matter what that child grows up to be in life. Hmm. If they are a strong reader, that will enhance their life in every way.
All of this to say, to go back to how we started this, even when the library's closed, there are a lot of things that you can do and learn, and even if you can pick up the At Your Library magazine, mm-hmm. gives you kind of a schedule of things
going
on.
Absolutely.
For all ages.
Absolutely. Yep. So. All our book groups, all of our programs, all of our regular programs that meet weekly or monthly, all of the special things that are just happening once a year.
Yeah. Like, Darcy and I were talking about the history of the spelling bee because I've only worked for Curl for the last 6 or 7 years. And so I was sort of asking her before we came on the show, how long have we been doing this mm-hmm. and blah, blah, blah. And it was really fascinating for me to learn about because it's one of those big, special, one-off things that we do that in adult services, I don't really take part in, but I know about.
Yep.
And so to learn some of the history of the spelling bee was really awesome, actually, because I was like, oh, that's really cool to know.
Yeah.
Speaking of the spelling bee, we'll talk about that. It's coming up next mm-hmm. weekend, and we'll get into that when we come back with Darcy Caswell and Aaron Creighton with the library, librarypoint.org. More on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
This is Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Download the all-new News Talk 1230 WFVA app for Apple and Android. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio at 540-371-5756. And now, here's your host, Ted Schubel.
Aaron Creighton, Darcy Caswell here this morning with the Central Rappahannock Regional Library. The Fredericksburg Regional Spelling Bee is coming up in... Darcy, you're one of like one of the big cheeses in all of this. That's I didn't even have to ask which of you two were going to talk about the spelling bee, because you're one of the ones. You're like one of the rule keepers, and that's where, because you come in here, gosh. And we have a good time, and we talk, and we talk about kids, and we talk about reading, but at the spelling bee, you become...
I am the protest official.
Yeah, you're like very...
The buck stops with you?
No, no. The buck stops with the judges.
Okay.
But and Darcy becomes very serious. Oh, it is serious, okay, Darcy.
Okay.
That is true.
Okay. She reminds me of my teachers when I was in elementary school.
Well, you know, I was a teacher. I was a high school teacher for 10 years.
I didn't know that.
Yes. I taught social studies.
Okay.
Yeah.
So how would... Time out on the spelling bee for a second. How did you decide to get into library work?
Well, so I was a teacher, high school, mostly history teacher for about 10 years. And toward the end of that, I had kind of been thinking that I wanted to do something a little different. I very much still wanted to be involved with kids and education, and that's really my passion. But in all honesty, I was just ready to get out of the classroom.
Okay.
It was a tough time. You know, the state where I was teaching in had a lot of budget crunches, and it was just a really hard time to be a teacher.
Okay. So
then. And then I had, my second child, and I took a break from teaching, and gave me some time to really think about what I wanted to do, and I kind of fell into working in a public library part-time, absolutely loved it, and then decided to make that my next career choice. So
to get the library sciences, I'm assuming that's what you
correct.
Get.
Correct, yep. Master's of Library and Information Sciences.
Is that something that takes a year or two to get?
It took me 2 years. Okay. Different programs are different. The program I did had a time limit on it, like you had to finish in 2 years. Some programs let you take a little bit longer.
So while we're on this subject, Aaron, before the show we were talking about how you've kind of lived up and down the East Coast. How did you decide to get involved in library work?
I've had a version of this job since I was 16. I've worked in libraries for 27 years, which is kind of crazy when I think about it sometimes. But I got my very first job. I was when I lived in New England. My high school was right next door to the public library, and I heard there was a job opening. So I walked over one day after school and I applied for something. And within like 6 months or so, I was promoted to a part-time supervisor. And honestly, with the exception of a year and a half that I lived outside of the country, I basically have never left. So yeah, and I got my master's in 2009, and yeah.
Okay. Did it take you 2 years?
It took me a year and a half, but I was working at the academic. Mm-hmm. I was working for the University of Rhode Island, and I was going to school there at the same time. Mm-hmm. So literally the library and the building where all the library science classes were in were right next door to each other. Mm-hmm. So I had an advantage where I could just bounce right from one to another.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I mean, this is a job where you get to like give back to your community on a regular basis. Yeah. You get to help people and make a difference in people's lives. I mean, it's just such a fulfilling career. I was talking to somebody at the research desk yesterday who was like, I'm interested in becoming a librarian. Mm-hmm. Can I pick your brain? And I was like, absolutely. Here's my business card. Let's set up a time to chat. Mm-hmm. You know, I'd be happy to help. We're always fostering the next generation of librarians because we know what value we add to the community. I mean, I have an intern right now that I can just, you know, it brings me such, I don't know, joy and happiness when you see what the potential that we have to do to help our community. It's just amazing.
Mm-hmm. I always think back to my time when I was just a kid at the librarian. My mom took me to the library all the time, and I would check out books. I remember the librarian said to me, and it was real, really small town, you know, you could be reading better than this.
She pushed you.
Yeah.
In a good way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it was just like, there's more out there than just reading sports biographies or things. Why don't you just, you know, kind of push yourself?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think the best librarians, like, they give you, when they give you books to recommend, right, there's that whole adage of you give them what they want, and then, you know, maybe you give them something a little bit outside of their comfort zone, but you think that they'll genuinely enjoy, or to, like, you know, push them a little bit farther. And it's such a positive thing, because it's like, you might not have realized that if you've only ever read Lee Child is great, don't get me wrong, he's amazing, thrillers, all that great stuff, but you might not realize that there's a lot of similarities between his stuff and, like, one of the Nora Roberts standalones. Like, you know, it's a lot of stuff about people and, you know, fighting the bad guys and the good wins at the end and, you know, all that good stuff, and pushing people a little bit in that direction to help them expand their world. I mean, it's a really fun part of the job.
Yeah, I was actually thinking about this on the way in. And the thing that I love about the library is that the opportunities that we offer people. So, like, if somebody comes in with a question or wanting a book, we give them options. Like, you know, we ask them kind of what they're interested in. We use that information to then come up with a bunch of options that would work for them. But then they get to make the decision. You know, I really enjoy that. I love finding those options for people and then giving them the choice of, you know, what of these options, you know, do you think one of these will work for you? What are you most interested in? It's really great.
It is. I always like to ask people, what was the last book that they liked and what was the last book that they absolutely hated?
Right.
Because I feel like those give you, like, the best sort of overview. Because if they tell you that they really hated something, you're like, okay, well, I'm not going to pick something that's that's in that alley, because you're not going to enjoy it. It gives you a lot of information to play with.
Ask a librarian.
Yes.
You're always talking about it. If you're stuck or you want to have an idea for yourself or for your kids, talk to a librarian.
Absolutely. And you can ask us in person. You can call us on the phone. We've got a chat feature on the website.
Book Match.
Yeah.
Yeah, so if you email in and say, you know, I'm looking for a suspense thriller, you know, they'll ask you a couple of questions. It's a very simple, I think, Google form. Mm-hmm. You fill it out, and then one of our wonderful library staff will give you, I think it's like 5 to 10 personalized matches of things that you might like. Mm. And if you enjoy them, or if you'll, like, you email us back and say, oh, I've actually read all of those, we'll find you more great books, because it's just, you know, it's a fun part of the job.
Yeah, for sure.
And you're never too old to ask, because I credit you guys with on all sorts of levels of getting me back to reading. And it was last year about this time I was reading this Humphrey Bogart, just the longest biography, and I tired of it. But I just felt like I gotta keep reading it. And it was Darcy and Tracy who said, just close it up and put it back, just walk away from it.
If you're not enjoying a book, I mean, unless it's like assigned for a class.
Right.
Or whatever.
Yeah.
But if you're reading for pleasure and you are not enjoying it,
why keep
then
it
it's
up?
Not reading for pleasure.
Yes.
Close that book. There are so many books out there, you can find one that you enjoy. Yeah. Don't spend your pleasure, you know, your recreational time doing things you don't enjoy.
Yeah. I thought why wouldn't I know this? Why wouldn't I'm an adult.
I think people feel guilty about it sometimes, though. They're like, well, it's unfinished. Well, it's okay that it's unfinished. Mm-hmm. It's the right book for the right reader, and it wasn't the right book for you at the time. That's fine.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there have been books even in my life as an adult where I've started them and I thought, oh, this is... and I put it away. But then, you know, down the road, few years, whatever, I pick it up again and then I enjoy it.
Yep.
So it's all about the timing.
100%.
Yeah.
Well, I told you two that yesterday I went to the Friends of the Library books. That's the first time in ages that I have gone in there and walked out without books. I almost walked out with three and just decided I have so many books. But boy, you walk around, that place has just some fascinating books. And most of them are really new and in great shape. And a lot of them real, you know, some of them are even, you know, current and even still now bestsellers.
Oh, yeah. We get the most amazing stuff donated to us. So I work at the Fredericksburg branch. We have our big monthly book sale next week, and so we've been sorting through the materials that we've been getting. We have amazing volunteers who do most of the work. But I was down there looking at some stuff last night, and there was just, you know, some really fantastic, some 2024 stuff, some really great, you know, shape paperbacks, lots of kids stuff. So, you know, the stuff that people donate to us, it's mostly in really good condition. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we have, like, the best used bookstore around, one of them. And, you know, we just are really lucky in what we have and the people who donate to us.
We get some really interesting things, too, because, like you say, you know, some people will kind of purchase the book and then donate it right to us, which we love. And then sometimes we get maybe a person is downsizing or whatever, and they have a whole sort of collection.
Yes.
You know, so maybe it's like a bunch of Civil War books or it's mm-hmm. a bunch of baseball books or whatnot, and they'll donate that to us. So then we get this huge variety of books all on one subject. So it's really good to stop in that bookshop regularly because you never know what you're going to find.
It's over on Lafayette Boulevard. Yep. Is it Old Greenwich?
Mm-hmm. Old Greenwich.
It's in that.
Yep. 125 Old Greenwich Drive.
And there were a number of books, and a lot of times some of the books that are, you know, like you say, are part of a series or even historical, you can get it for a really good price because they'll include in there what it's selling for on eBay.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
And it's considerably less if you see this what you're selling it for.
Yes. Well, and I have found things in there that are like out of print that mm-hmm. you know you could easily spend if you go to mm-hmm. Online or something $30-$40 mm-hmm. for. And I've bought it at a friend's bookshop for $5 or $10. Like it's such a great deal, and especially if you're like one of those people who likes to hunt for like that missing book in their series or whatever. They usually, I have been so lucky and I have found so many things there.
Yeah.
It's also a great place to get gifts.
I'm
constantly kind of just browsing through there, and because I like to get Christmas gifts for people throughout the year rather than kind of all at one time. And I have found some great books in there for a couple of dollars, and it looks brand new.
It does, and they think you spent that, because I had somebody say to me, I did that this past year, gave someone a book, and they said, you shouldn't have spent that much. And I just, it was on sale.
Yeah.
Like, really on
sale. It was on sale. You got a really great deal.
And the money you spend there goes back to help Friends of the Library.
Oh, yeah.
It helps the library.
Correct, absolutely. So Friends of the Library get the, they're running the shop, and they get the proceeds from that, and then they support Curl, and they do a lot of, they give us a lot of money for staff development, like attending conferences and that kind of thing. They provide prize money for the different contests that we have during the year.
Like the Teen Art Show that's coming up. They pay for those prizes.
Yep. Yeah. Okay.
Lots and lots of good support from
them. I didn't know that they did. I mean, that's a great thing to be able for staff mm-hmm. development to go to those things, because a lot of times there might not be money in the budget to do that.
Correct. We wouldn't be able to do it without them.
Yeah. So, okay. Quick break. This is one of those shows where we just are we just sit around and we talk about a lot of different things. We are going to talk about the regional library, the spelling bee.
Great.
We will do that when we come back. I promise. I promise. No more getting off. Well, I can't promise you there's no more getting off. But librarypoint.org. Librarypoint.org for all the information on the Central Rappahannock Regional Library. Darcy Caswell, Aaron Creighton here this morning. More on News Talk 1230 WFVA. It's almost 8:30.
From the Fredericksburg.today online news studios, this is News Talk 1230 WFVA Fredericksburg, a Centennial Broadcasting Station focused on Fredericksburg. Welcome back to Town Talk on News Talk 1230. You can weigh in about today's topic on Facebook at WFVA 1230 and by text at 540-371-5756. Here's your host, Ted Schubel.
It is the Central Rappahannock Regional Library. Always good stuff when we can talk about things going on with the library. Aaron Creighton is here from the downtown branch, and Darcy Caswell, the Director of Youth Services. So, the Fredericksburg Regional Spelling Bee.
Yes.
It is March the 1st.
It is. It's a week from tomorrow, 10 a.m. at James Monroe High School. This is the winner of this, of our bee, Fredericksburg Regional Spelling Bee, goes on to compete at the Scripps National Spelling Bee.
Yeah.
It's a big deal.
It's such a huge deal.
It's a big deal. Yeah. So we are going to, so we have, I got to count, I think 14 or 15 school divisions in our region.
Yeah.
Who are participating. They send, so basically what happens is, so let's take Orange County. So Orange County in their schools, they have their, so a lot of times they'll start out with class spelling bees, so then they'll have their winner from each classroom, and then those kids will compete at the sort of the school, the building, mm-hmm. and then they'll have the winner from there then competes against the winners from the other schools or the other buildings, and then Orange County schools will send their ultimate winner to the Fredericksburg Regional Spelling Bee. But we've got participants from Caroline, Colonial Beach, Culpeper, Fauquier, Fredericksburg, King George, Spotsy, Stafford, Westmoreland, and then we have a homeschool division. We've got a private school division. So, yeah, we're going to have, I think, 15 participants all together.
It is so fun to watch.
It is so tense.
Yes.
And those kids, I tell you, I have so much respect for them because they are up on that stage in the auditorium, the JM auditorium, and in front of the crowd, and they get up and they, you know, they're told a word, and then they spell it into a microphone, and then, you know, the judges are determining whether they spell it correctly or not, and oh, it's so stressful. And I'm in the audience. I can't imagine. I respect those kids so much. They're so brave.
Oh, and the parents to be there. And just, I don't know how they study for it because the words, when it gets, as it gets deeper, the words get so difficult.
Yes. So, as a sponsor of the Frederick, so we participate through Scripps, right? Scripps National Spelling Bee. So we register the Fredericksburg Regional Spelling Bee. And then because we do that, and then our schools sign up, you know, on that same website through Scripps, and then they get access to study aids that Scripps provides, you know. So they're like, here's some great list to study from.
Yeah.
And that is really good, and you can tell which kids have studied those.
Oh yeah,
because they just go boom, 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 boom. But then at a certain point, you know, when the kids are just getting those words, time, dun, 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 you know, you have to move to the unstudied list.
So who actually gets to pick the words for the study, for the spelling bee?
So Scripps gives us a list.
Oh, excellent. Okay.
So they give us the official list for the spelling bee. And again, some of those are the first words on the list are from those study lists. And then they get harder. And then there's a section that has not appeared anywhere on any study list.
Oh, okay.
So these are words that, of course, they're in the dictionary, right? The Merriam-Webster dictionary. It's the official dictionary of the spelling bee. So they're in that Merriam-Webster's dictionary, but they have not appeared on any of the suggested study lists. And once those words start coming, then it gets much harder.
I can remember a couple of years ago there, and she went, I think, she was just this little tiny girl.
I know.
I think she was from Spotsylvania, but she went deep into it. I think she was like one of the top three.
She was. I remember that too. I feel bad. I can't remember her name, but oh my
gosh. She just was so tight. You had to adjust the mic.
You had to lower the microphone. Yep.
And she just knew this stuff. And it was just,
I know.
And I remember 2 years ago, the person who won, I mean, he was a machine.
Mm-hmm.
He was confident, and it's fascinating watching it.
It is fascinating, and, you know, the thing that's really interesting, too, is, so you think about, like, studying words and sort of memorizing them, but the kids who really go far, you know, they have also studied sort of how words are put together. And, you know, if it's a root, what the language of origin is, and how words from that language are put together.
Yeah.
You know, did they use the AE combination? Did they use the IO combination? Whatever, you know. And so that's really, really, it's so fun to watch. It's so tense. And then it's so exciting when somebody wins. Oh,
yes,
my God.
Because usually you win and when you get down to two, and then if the person misses, and then the person gets the word right, then they have to spell another word.
The championship word.
The championship word to do it. And I don't know that I've, in the couple of years that I have gone, I've never seen, the person has always gotten the championship word. And then that's it. And there's just, it's so fun to see
it
the families.
So fun. It is so fun.
Come up stage. And
yes.
It's a great event. But it's like going to a golf tournament. Plan on being quiet. You can't be moving around.
Nope.
And you
have to come and sit.
You have to come and sit. Don't be opening a little.
Nope.
Don't be opening candy
or
something.
Don't bring your snacks.
No.
And we also ask that people do not bring small children because it really is drop dead silent. Mm-hmm. And we need it that way because we need to give those kids on the stage every opportunity to do their best. We want zero distractions. We want everyone to do their best. And I have to give a shout out. So we are the organizers of the Fredericksburg Regional Spelling Bee. But we have three tremendous sponsors this year. We've got Access I, Fredericksburg Host Lions Club, and the Kiwanis Club of Fredericksburg. Mm. And we really could not do it without them. They are our financial sponsors. And because, you know, the Spelling Bee, there's cost involved, including, I would like to say, the winner. They go to participate in the Scripps National Spelling Bee. There, and it's a week long.
Oh, wow. I had no idea it was a week
long. It is. It's called Bee Week.
Wow. Okay.
And their hotel accommodations are paid for.
It's at National Harbor, isn't it?
It is at National Harbor. Yep.
Yeah.
And so their hotel accommodations are paid for. And thanks again to our sponsors. We provide them with a check to cover their additional expenses. And our goal there is that a student, no matter their socioeconomic status or, you know, kind of that they will be able to go. We mm-hmm. don't want somebody's family situation to prevent them from being able to participate in the Scripps National Spelling Bee. If they win RB, we want everybody to be able to go. So their hotel accommodations are paid for and they get that expense check. Again, thanks to our financial sponsors.
Well, thanks to the library for you and the sponsors for doing this. It is a great local thing. And again, it is the next Saturday.
It's next Saturday. Saturday, March 1st starts at 10 a.m.
And it goes as long as it has to go.
I know people keep asking me, like, when is it over? Is it over when the last word is spelled correctly?
Yeah. And usually that's around noon.
It's usually, I have to knock on something because, but, you know, we've been involved for several years. It's been between noon and 1 o'clock.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Technically, I've seen this. I saw the time on wherever I saw it advertised, and it said 10 to 3. And no. I thought it could. I mean,
it could
if you've got two people who go.
Absolutely, yes.
So, but anyway, that's March the 1st at JM.
Correct.
So it's a great. It is a great event. Another event. This is an event tomorrow.
Tomorrow, Aaron. Yeah. So we have our annual African American Readiness tomorrow. It's going to be at the Fredericksburg branch in the theater. Starts at 2:00, and it's something that we've done for the last like 8 or 9 years, and it's just a fantastic event. It's actually a national event, so it's the African American Readin' was actually started by the by a group of teachers who wanted to make literacy a bigger part of Black History Month. And so you know what we do is we find a bunch of readers who are interested in showcasing all the amazing stuff that African Americans have contributed to literature, including some self-published stuff. So if they are a local author or even a teen or a kid who's interested in like coming up and reading their own poem, we support them as well, which is really sweet. And then we also do other things. So we'll have a special performance by a local hip hop artist, which is going to be so good. His name is David Lamont, and he performed last year at Music on the Steps. He's really amazing. And his mom, Tamari, is actually a mental health person, so she's going to be talking about that, because the whole theme tomorrow is literature, but it's also talking about like how important it is to talk about mental health, especially in communities that, you know, often don't have that as a focus. Mm-hmm. Where, you know, we should just talk about this more. So we're going to have some tables from some different people and groups that are going to be talking about mental health and have some resources as well. And then we have one of our favorite partnerships is with Just Poppin', which is a downtown local shop that does gourmet popcorn, and it is amazing and it is so delicious, and every year we get popcorn from them, and I'm very excited about that.
That's
I'm picking
so
it up
fun.
Today.
So people who come to the African American Read-In get popcorn?
People who come get gourmet popcorn
oh
from Just Poppin'. I know. It's really, I don't know, if you've never been, just walking into that shop, mm-hmm. it just smells like mm-hmm. the most amazing smell,
yeah.
and then
mm-hmm.
their popcorn, it lives up to the smell. It's just mm-hmm. such good stuff. But yeah, we'll have people doing readings and just having a good time. And if you're interested in coming and watching any of the performances, it starts at 2:00, sorry, and it ends at 4:00. And it's just going to be, you know, a really fun way to celebrate Black history.
So again, the African American Read-In.
Yes.
Tomorrow.
Tomorrow at 2:00 at the Fredericksburg branch.
The gardening workshops. Talk about that.
That's part of our... So, Ted, you're a big fan of our seed library.
I was going to say, yes. This ties into the seed library. It's that time of year.
It is. And so this is a partnership that when we launched the seed library last year, we reached out to Downtown Greens to be like, hey, we're interested in doing this. And they are such an amazing partner of ours. They were like, we would love to be a part of this. Mm-hmm. And so the first Tuesday of every month, they come out and they give a gardening workshop. And it's at 10 a.m. And the one for March will be about, you know, getting your garden ready for to you know prevent the bugs and the animals from getting into your garden, which is an important thing. If you're spending all your time and energy out there, you want to be able to, you know, enjoy the fruits of your labors. But every month they do a different topic. Okay. And it's just a really fantastic partnership. And then usually what happens is people will then, you know, they do the gardening workshop, they learn lots of really interesting things, and then they come upstairs and they borrow some seeds from the seed library. So it's one of those things that sort of, you know, helps perpetuate itself. It's just really wonderful.
Well, and the seed library is that the third floor it's on?
It's on the third floor, and we're keeping we've been keeping everything seasonal, so we still have because of the weather has been so interesting this time of year with all the snow, it's still all of our winter root vegetables and your kitchen herbs and things like that. But in the next week or so, we're planning to switch everything over to be all of your spring things that you can start indoors, tomatoes, cucumbers, things like that, to, you know, help get people ready to start their garden. So it's going to be really great. When we were you know, we've gotten a lot of really great donations. We were at the seed swap a couple of weeks ago by the Master Gardeners, and anything that they basically had left over, they were like, hey, do you want to take this for your seed for your seed library? So we left with two grocery bags full of seeds that we're still cataloging and processing. So we've got tons of really great seeds that are coming for spring.
So the seeds that you take out, so you said, you know, right now there's winter seeds in
there. Yes.
So when you change those over to the spring seeds, will you hang on to those winter seeds and put out again next year?
They're good for usually about 2 years for the germination. Okay. So it depends on when they were harvested. But yeah, we'll typically hang on to them for that 2 years that they're supposed to be sustainable and you're able to still plant them and germinate them and get good plants out of them.
You got the seeds are in an old card catalog, which makes it very cool.
It is very cool. And, you know, we have been so lucky. We are, it's basically, we haven't bought any seeds, minus a thing that we're doing this summer called One Seed, which I have some details on that we're finalizing all of our summer programming, so we're very excited about that. But honestly, it's all been donation-driven. People are dropping off seeds. We had a woman who was moving, who cleaned out her garden and her greenhouse, and she brought in like a grocery bag full of stuff last week, and it's just, and for her, it was all, she was really into flowers, so she had all of these local native plant seeds. Yeah. You know, for the pollinators that were just amazing. So we were happy to take those. But then we have people who are, you know, doing the whole process where they're getting the seeds from us, harvest their garden over the, you know, the fall and the summer and the fall, dried out their seeds, and then return them to us. So it's really working quite wonderfully.
Yeah. Well, we'll do a video on that again.
I hope so.
One of these days, because I love the seeds are just are a great thing. Before we take a break, the 30th annual Johnny Johnson Teen Art Show.
Yeah.
Is a great event.
Oh, it's tremendous. Have you ever been to the reception?
I have.
Oh, it's incredible.
Yeah.
Yeah. So this is an opportunity for students in grades 9-12 to submit original artwork. It's judged by two local artists. There's cash prizes. Entries are being accepted at our downtown Fredericksburg branch February 18th through the 28th. And then the opening reception is Friday, March 7th. And work will be on exhibit from March 7th to April 26th. I would encourage everybody, if you can, come to the reception. That's where prizes are awarded. You get to meet the artists. It's really cool. But if you can't make that, stop into the Fredericksburg branch. Take a look at the art. It will blow you away.
I was going to say, you'll be amazed at the talent.
You will be amazed that these are teenagers.
Exactly.
It is incredible. I mean, incredible. I have to say, last year, I fell in love with a piece, and I bought it, and it's now hanging in my house.
That's awesome.
Really? I've never known someone who's done that.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's, I mean, the artwork is, it is incredible. I just... The talent that these young people have is amazing. And it really, it's one of those events where it sort of restores your faith in where, you know,
Yeah.
In young people. I mean, I always have faith in young people, but it's just one of those times when you go, wow.
And the variety of stuff. You'll see stuff that is like, we had some mixed media stuff, paintings, drawings, like things that were, there was one painting last year that was like, you know, 5.5 feet tall. And I was just like, how do you even start to plot that out? Right. I have no idea. But it's one of my, I work at the Downtown Branch. It's one of my favorite shows because it's just so, the variety is such a, so eclectic. And we get so many submissions, like, you know, 50, 60, 70 pieces some years. It's just outstanding.
Yeah, there was a piece last year that was textile based, so it was like woven.
I know exactly which piece you're talking about. I loved that piece.
I stood in front of that for like a long time, and you just look at it, and you look at it, and then, so this, the cool thing about coming to the reception is, so you're standing there, and I'm looking at this, and there were some people standing right next to me, and they were also kind of looking and talking a little bit, and I said, isn't this incredible? And this woman goes, yeah, my daughter did that. Oh my gosh. So then I got to talk to the artist, you know, and I was like, what? Can you, like, tell me how you did this? And so she kind of explained how
That's
she
really
did
cool.
it and what her inspiration was. Her inspiration was her grandmother. Yeah, it's just incredible.
Yeah.
Be looking for it. The Jenny Johnson Teen Art Show, the reception, you said, is on the 7th, and you can submit things through the 28th.
Correct.
Darcy Caswell, Aaron Creighton here from the library. We'll wrap it up when we come back on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
This is Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Hear the show anytime by subscribing to the Town Talk podcast on your favorite podcast platform. And now, here's your host, Ted Schubel.
Aaron Creighton and Darcy Caswell here from the library this morning. Before we get out of here, librarypoint.org for more information on all that we have talked about, and also on Facebook and the At Your Library quarterly publication.
It's quarterly.
Thought so. Before we get out of here, the self-sufficiency skills. You were excited about this, Aaron, so I thought we have to do this one.
Very quickly, yeah. No, it is going to be awesome. It's going to be the second Saturday of every month. It's a new program that we're starting. It's going to be in the afternoon, and it's going to be, you know, these things that you think maybe you were interested in about but never really learned how to do. The first one, we're going to have people come in to teach you how to mill your own flour. A local homestead group is going to come in and show us, and they're bringing in a bunch of different types of mills. I had no idea that this was a thing, but my programmer, the person who's organizing this, Christy Lish, she has all these connections, and she's milled her own flour, and she's like, no, this is something people should know how to do. And I was like, all right, great, let's bring it in, let's try it.
Are they going to bring in the grain too?
They're going to bring in some ancient grains and actually show you the actual process. It's going to be
so cool.
And then you're going to get to actually, from what I understand, people are going to actually get to try the different mills to see to feel of them, which is going to be awesome. And then we have, then the next month in April, it'll be starting your own homestead if you've ever been interested in starting a small homestead. Okay. You know, like if you have chickens and you don't know what to do with all the eggs or whatever, how do you actually turn that into a small business? And then the one in May, people are really excited about too, which is learning how to make your own soaps at home. And the woman who does that owns her own small business making soaps, and she's donating her time to come show and demonstrate to people how to do that. So, and then this is just for the spring. In the summer, we'll have other topics and, you know, keep moving it forward. But it's something that, you know, my colleague is very passionate about. And with our seed library, all of this is sort of springing from that, because we are getting more people asking for this stuff because they're learning how to do this stuff at home, and they're coming to us to teach them, and then we're providing that. It's just kind of amazing how this whole thing works within itself.
Yeah, how fun. Before we get out of here, the Adult Reading Challenge goes to the end of March.
Yes.
Five books.
You win a candy bar and a sticker.
Yeah.
Have you done your five?
I've got my five. I just need to log them now.
Yep.
And it's a great, I love Winter Reading Challenge.
Oh, it's so much fun.
Yeah.
And it could be books that you read to your kids, audiobooks, comic books, you know, all of that stuff counts. We get this question regularly. Mm-hmm. All of it counts.
All reading counts and listening.
All reading counts, yes.
Yes. Yep.
And for me, it jump-started reading again in my life.
Yeah,
it
did. Awesome.
It did. And I thought that five was an impossible amount, and Darcy refused to hear about it.
I remember that conversation.
She refused to let me use that as an excuse.
And if you have the Beanstack app on your phone, it's so easy to record your books.
Totally.
I mean, it's easy on a desktop, too, but... Because I mean, like a lot of people, I think I read in bed at night.
Yeah, that's
and
me.
And so then I just pull my phone over and I just record my book.
I know, it's so much easier that way.
Yeah.
And honestly, it's like you said, getting your love back of reading, like five books, especially if we're saying it could be anything, a short audiobook, a book that you're reading to your kid or your grandchild or whatever. It really is, you know, five is, we're setting a low bar just to get you excited about reading, and we're helping people make it. And the candy bar is delicious.
I want mine.
LibraryPoint.org. Erin Creighton from the Downtown Library, Darcy Caswell, the Director of Youth Services. Thank you. We'll see you soon.
Thanks. Thank you so much, Ted.
That's it. See you in the morning.
Thanks for listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. The views expressed by the host and guests on this program are their own and not necessarily those of this station, its management, or Centennial Broadcasting. Hear the show anytime by subscribing to the Town Talk podcast on your favorite podcast platform. The Glenn Beck program is next on News Talk 1230 WFVA, focused on Fredericksburg.